Welcome to the Just Raise podcast. I'm your host, Joe Sweeney. And today on the show, we are talking about Empire DAO, a company building a home for the Web3 community here in New York City, and one that I have had the pleasure of watching come to life. We talk about buying a building here in New York City, the possible future of community, and the messy reality of what it actually takes to bring a DAO together. I hope you enjoyed this episode kicking off season two with Empire DAO founder Mike Fraietta. If you listen to this show, you know that startups always need great talent. But getting the perfect fit is hard and time-consuming, which is why Marketer Hire uses cutting-edge AI and in-house teams of seasoned recruiters to find your perfect marketing professional fast. Sign up today and get matched at marketerhire.com. All right, Mike. Well, we're here at Empire DAO. Congratulations on having it actually come together. Can you tell everybody what Empire DAO actually is?
So Empire DAO is node one of a Web3 cultural center, workspace, hub, and art center, if you will. Mm-hmm. Kind of all of the above, yeah.
Yeah. And it's in an incredible space where we're sitting right now in Soho.
Yeah, I mean, I think New York is the perfect confluence of finance, culture, and technology. And there's not a city in the world I think I'd choose for right now for what's happening with Web3. And then also, I don't think there's a neighborhood that I could pick that's better in this city mm-hmm. than Bowery and right next to Soho, where it's a convergence of, it's just a good meeting spot for people from all around the area. And I don't think I could pick a better building in the entire city. So it's actually kind of like the perfect trifecta of all of these right now. I think this is the place to be.
Yeah.
We're excited to be here. Yeah.
For people who aren't here, haven't heard of Empire DAO, you got the entire building above the signature Supreme store.
Yep.
So like the six floors. When I came in the first time 2 days ago, I mean, it took me, I was winded by the time I got to floor six, and then there's a rooftop above that.
Yep.
And the idea is to create a heart for Web3, a physical home for the community. And the revenue model is right now co-working space, fundamentally.
There's a protocol overall that we're going to expand in other places. So you can launch a token and a DAO type system that we're building here anywhere else on the planet. So that's really the operating model, is that we want to be a global Web3 IRL ecosystem that anyone can use and launch what we're doing here. And this is the first proof of concept, if you will, hence node one. And it's a mixed use space. So this part here will be kind of a place to hang out, have people congregate, talk, but there'll be a lot of art on the walls that explain what Web3 is. So for people that are coming in from corporations or government or university, and they're like, what is this? Or artists, and they go, oh, wow, this is what this is. You really have to feel crypto and Web3 to understand it. And we want this to be a place where you can experience and understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other floors are a mix of hacker houses, which is some chains that will be hosting and letting their builders and developers and entrepreneurs use that space to grow in their platform. And also some office space for some startups, and then some co-working as well. If you just want to hop up at a desk, we'll have NFT-based memberships where you can come in for the day, for the week, et cetera, if you're just in town. Or if you're out of town and you want to sell on the marketplace, you can sell your NFT in real time, you know, using the marketplace.
Yeah, so the Hacker House idea is fascinating, because when you look at like Solana, who I think might be buying a floor, or like Near Protocol, these are all fundamentally competing computing systems, and they need to attract developers. So buying a floor in like an incredible space in New York with views of Midtown everywhere, that is just a good use of dollars for them if they can get more developers working on Solana over whatever the next best thing is, because then they can come work here for free in that office space on that floor whenever they want.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I've been to about 10 Solana hacker houses and probably 20 overall in Web3, and just kind of been monitoring, seeing what's been successful. I think Solana's growth has been a lot to do with their big bet on IRL last summer. And I think they've seen a lot of developers come to them and grow on their platform because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been definitely monitoring what they've been doing, seeing the success there, and trying to repeat that. And we really want it to be a space where growing companies and individuals and entrepreneurs and developers can grow, but not only that, artists too. So we're looking at an artist in residence programs here. So a quick history on the building. It was a bank for about 50 years. And then Jay Mizell, one of the world's most known photographers, was here by himself for 50 years, eventually married and had a family. So we're probably going to do a tribute to him and being in this building and making it what it is. So we want artists to come in here and also have a space to create as well, not just developers and entrepreneurs.
35,000 square feet of space. That's pretty good for a New York City apartment.
Yeah. Yeah. I bought it for like 50,000 in the 50s or 60s. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to plug real quick. There's a documentary called Jay Myself, and even the YouTube trailer on it is interesting. That 3 minutes will go like, wow, that was intense. That was incredible. And the movie itself will make you look at photography in a whole new light. So it's a worthy movie, not just because of the building, but just in terms of photography. Yeah.
So what's the thesis for Empire DAO? How does this fit into the market and everything that's happening right now?
The IRL Web3 technologies, I mean, like the things that kind of influenced, I'd say, was like first was Constitution DAO. Like, oh, we can all own something physical. Like, yeah, that's an interesting concept. And then I'm a lifelong golfer, and I saw Mike Dudas doing the Lynx DAO. I was like, oh, we're buying a golf course. I'm like, okay, we can do this. And in the midst of seeing that was where, you know, we did a Hacker House day that was sponsored by Reciprocal and CoinFund. And it was about 50 to 75, 80 of us or so in Soho. And it was a really magical day last summer. And it was like, wow, like projects came out of that, including this one. And at the end of it, we're like, who wants to do this again? Like everyone raised their hand. What if we did an NFT pass? What if we made it a DAO? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like, you know, the demand has been insane ever since then. So we were going to get that same exact space. And we did a walkthrough with investors. And they were like, guys, you got to think bigger. Everybody wants to work here already. And you guys haven't even opened up or advertised or done anything. And that's how we got into this space. And now we're, again, same problem. We are out of space before we're even opening up. Great problem to have. But that the demand's here. I mean, and not only the demand for workspace, like I've been the guy for 15 years pitching companies that they don't need to work in the office anymore. They can use remote, they can use a combined thing. And now I'm going back because it needs to be flexible. And that's what Web3 offers, right? So if you want to just come in on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're not coming that day at all. You can sell your pass. Mm-hmm. This gives us a real-time marketplace to be able to have that flexibility for whatever you want. You're going to Austin for 2 months, sell your pass.
Yeah, it's fascinating because post-Constitution DAO, there was that wave of like, everyone wants to start a DAO and do a thing. And yeah. I was like, the reason we got connected was because I thought there should be a DAO to buy a building in New York, because that would be awesome, and build a, you know, like social club based on NFTs. And then, you know, while Golf DAO and a lot of these other DAOs, like it's kind of pie in the sky to buy a golf course or a blimp. You actually, you know, not bought the building, but like multi-million-dollar lease for a long-term lease, got the funding together. Can you tell a little bit of the story? I guess there's two stories here. One is the story of how you put this together over time.
Yep.
And then two is the story you told VCs, which is a very different kind of, I'm sure, more polished story.
No, I mean, really, it's a triple chicken and egg if you think about it, if that even makes sense. But I had to sell three different audiences here. Mm-hmm. One was the community that like, hey, we're going to get something together. We're going to have a special place together. Who's in? Mm-hmm. But you don't really have the building, Mike.
That was me. I remember.
Yeah. And I was, you know, and then there's investors like, oh, wow, it looks like you get some traction. You're building a community. Uh-huh. But you don't really have the community because you don't really have the building. Mm-hmm. And then I'd walk them through. And they're like, oh, this is kind of like that Inventing Anna movie. Is it like, is this? And like, you know, I was for a while, you know. And then the third was actually, even though we're paying the landlord to lease here, they need to be sold. What's a DAO? Who are you? We could lease this to some big bank or some big company, but like, we're going to lease to a DAO. So I actually had to sell them on what we were doing. And they were very open-minded and letting us, you know, tour the place and let me show investors and let me show the community. Mm-hmm. So that was a magical point of all of this, of what we were building just for this building.
Yeah. And you got them to hold the space for like several months while you put the money together, which is...
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of back and forth. We had to establish that we had customers that were going to be here and that we had the funding that we weren't going to fold in a few months. Mm-hmm. So like, fair enough. They had some requirements for us. Typically, they would just say, yeah, give us your money. You're good. But in our case, this was pretty special. But they also saw the future of this, right? So like, how the hell do you have 300 people show up without promising a bottle of water on a cold Tuesday night, which mm-hmm. we had?
Yeah.
Whereas we have X amount of space in New York City. I think they have the most commercial real estate in New York City. And all their corporate clients are clawing back.
Yeah.
So there's something fundamentally different that we are doing, and they're seeing it. And they recognize that. They said, you know, we get it that you're doing something that we're unable to do right now, have a demand for office space. Mm-hmm. So that also helped. And so that we showed them not only did we pitch the investors the big vision of making this a scalable technology company, we sold it to RFR, who owns the building as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. To dive into the mechanics a little bit, there's two pieces there. There's the technology piece, and then there's the actual building itself and operating. To start with that building piece, you know, you have been... A DAO is a really interesting structure. You've mm-hmm. had many people help you, but that's not the same as having a team around you. How does a DAO actually operate? How do you go from like, you know, super liquid team to fundamentally a team that operates multiple spaces across New York? Sounds like you might be expanding soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're definitely a DAO in quotes, right? Air quotes. Mm-hmm. Like, we are a C Corp out of Delaware right now. You know, we know everyone who's been able to contribute from there. Yeah, we've been building the community. The way we're doing it is a corporation now will be launching a token out of, say, British Virgin Islands or wherever legal tells us is the best spot to. And then we'll be creating the DAO out of Wyoming or Marshall Islands, whatever that best spot is. And then we'll be moving the token to there. And that's where the DAO will ultimately live.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, you know, a lot of conversations about DAOs, there's two pivotal moments that I think we've made that are more towards centralized, high, top-down, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It was November and we first started this. And I think there was like 12 of us in the Telegram saying, yeah, start and buy it out. And I think there was like 14 versions of the deck with like different mission statements and different visions and what it was. And it was mm-hmm. like, okay, hey guys, do you mind if I take over? I'm going to work on this full time. Mm-hmm. And everyone said yes. And that was a centralization point. And at that point, we then became like a bit of a startup. And then there was, how are we going to raise for this? Should we go to the community, kind of like, hey, let's buy a building, Constitution DAO style?
Yeah.
Or do we go traditional VC route? And that decision, we decided to go the VC route because the amount of decisions that need to be made in real time. Like, and as a startup guy myself, I was like, we need this centralized power till we get to that DAO point when we're there. So mm-hmm. it's early days. Like, you know, again, we're operating at this point a lot like a typical startup with the goal of getting to a DAO.
Hmm.
And if I may see, like, the building itself will operate as a DAO. So we've got Asya Highsmith, who's our coffee partner. He'll own X amount percent of the coffee services here. The DAO will own Y percent. We'll do the same with the catering. We're going to do the same with the sound, with the creator space.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua will be operating it. We'll own X, and the DAO will. And then we'll be creating DAOs out of here as well and investing. So a lot of the startups that are out of here, Empire DAO, will be buying stake in their tokens. So it also operates as a kind of a really owned everything that's going on in here. You own a piece of it just by being in here and by holding our token. And that's kind of, I think this honestly will be, that's, this building may not be a scalable building itself. I think it will prove the model that others can do this. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I do think that will be a bit of a Y Combinator / Techstars in the IRL Web3 space, because we'll be bringing in and supporting so many IRL companies that will be kind of a DAO house in that regard, which doesn't really exist yet. So it's kind of hard to explain it, but it makes sense in my mind. But like, that's kind of like the DAO formation that we'll be doing, is a DAO that owns several DAOs and has created some out of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Hacker House idea is a really good one, because unlike everyone else who's trying to sell to a specific company, it's that you're selling to Solana, you're selling to maybe like Yuga Labs, so CryptoPunk and Bored Ape owners get like the top floor or yeah. access to the rooftop or whatever yeah. it is. And they, you know, despite having being in a downturn right now, they have millions to burn. And if you could like give their members like actual utility, like access to an incredible clubhouse in New York, that turns them into more of a like social club type model. It gives them like real things to offer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So like on the sixth floor, we might probably have some clubhouses, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll take a token or something like that, let them lease it out for 3 months or 6 months or a year, whatever they want to do. And you have to have the NFT pass to get into that door, and mm-hmm. they can have their lounge with whatever's going on. You know, like that's mm-hmm. good. That's definitely something that we've been tinkering with. Mm-hmm. We'll see if we get anyone who's interested in that type of concept, but I think we're going to reserve a bit of that particular floor for these type of pop-ups that want to come and do a winery, you know, DAO or something, you know, like that kind of thing that they want to do and try it out for a month or two. We yeah. want to utilize that space so that people can tinker with it. Because you already have the innovators here, right? Mm-hmm. So the people that are actually who you want to attract are in the building. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of a, you know, the way that we're looking at is we want people to have pop-ups here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the tokens itself, can you walk through kind of what you imagine the tokenomics to look like, both for this building and then kind of as you scale?
Yeah. So this one will have its own local token. And I even think, like, say we went to Williamsburg and Fort Greene next, they probably would also have their own tokens mm-hmm. as well. And that's our model. So we chatted with the mayor of Rio de Janeiro's team, and they're like, we have a ton of space. We have a ton of startups. We have no idea how to create a token. We have no idea how to create a DAO. But we saw what you're doing, and this is what we want to apply here to incentivize our people to come in and build that village mentality and help each other grow. Mm-hmm. And we see the value in it. Can you help us do it? Exactly. Okay. So that might be node two, right? So now we're launching a token, helping them get up, do the same kind of structure you're doing here. And then overall, what's going to kind of back all of these? So we're going to have a mother token, if you will, for all those that'll help back those up. And even if you're doing a small one, we have some friends in Montreal, they're like, we just want to do a small scale, but same thing. We don't want to do the whole British Virgin Islands thing, but we do want to have a token because we see the unit economics in terms of incentivizing people to be there. We want to be able to control our own little economy, huge value in doing that, but we don't want to spend the time and effort to do that. Can we have a token as a service in that regard? And then that's kind of like our overall model, right? So we'll be having all these places around the world that will be backing and operating and, you know, probably holding the treasury and then investing on the float from there. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, like an insurance company, I think they lose money on the premiums, but they're able to invest in the float. So same kind of concept. If we're able to help manage treasuries around the world, we'll be able to invest this fund.
Yeah. I mean, float is a fantastic business model. Airbnb makes like $1 million a day with their float. Yeah.
I believe it.
Every time I ask a founder, what is most important to you right now? They say hiring. Finding the right people is tough, which is why Marketer Hire has created a frictionless hiring process for businesses looking to hire marketing professionals. And I've got to say, it's impressive. They make it easy to match elite marketing professionals to businesses like yours fast. Sign up today and get matched with a no-risk trial at marketerhire.com.
So pivoting a little bit, we are in a downturn in crypto right now. There's a lot of fear going on in the market. That's what I've been told.
Yeah.
Do you think that'll affect Empire DAO at all, or, you know, ability to have people sign leases, people entering the space, that kind of stuff?
To an extent. I mean, I think there might be some bearish mentality of certain clients that we might want to have. But at the same time, I'm zero. The genie's out of the bottle on this improving our lives, right? Mm-hmm. If this is going to make my life easier as a manager, as a event coordinator, as a user, as an event goer, and it's improving, it doesn't matter. The technology is going to improve, right? I mean, I was around during the early days of social media, and, you know, it went through some, it didn't have a financial backing behind it, but once the genie got out of the bottle, it became everybody everywhere all at once, right? Like mm-hmm. you can't escape it. It's part of our lives. It's part of our communication channels with our families, with our friends. It's part of every business. The same thing is happening here.
Mm-hmm.
And the technology is way more interesting than the value to me. So I was a board member of the Monkey DAO on Solana, and we've got a treasury and we've got decisions to make and we got members. At the same time, I've been the president of my condo board association in Brooklyn. and we've got a treasury, and we've got decisions to make, and we've got voters. And it is night and day of like someone sells their unit and we've got to onboard them to email and to get their Zelle and then the voting and no one shows up. And it just takes 6 months what it takes 6 hours to do over here. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a massive improvement. So that's something that we'll build out of Empire DAO, right? Like, so we'll use my condo probably as a prototype. Put out this technology, the end user has no idea it's Web3, it's crypto, any of it. They just know they have a pass because they're an owner, and now they're on board to a system. Now, as the president of that, I'm going to say, wow, this makes my life so much easier for managing this building. How much does it cost? Zero. Mm. We're going to give it away because it adds utility and liquidity to our protocol, right? So these type of things are going to be nonstop of improving people's lives, and they'll adopt it, and that's all we're focusing on. The price, honestly, doesn't matter. it's speculation in a sense. Is there value behind it? Yes. But in my mind, we're not looking at that at all. Mm.
Yeah, you're interested in utility, actual products that are helpful for people. Yeah, there are a lot of companies building tools for DAOs right now. But it never occurred to me that that could be used for voting and governance and kind of like a platform for all of your users to then vote on things and to issue rewards via tokens and things like that, or fractionalized NFTs in a way that's, that's super
interesting. None of this is new. Mm-hmm. We're not doing anything new. This is a way of doing what we've always been doing better.
Yeah.
It's just an upgrade in governance, in financial management, in communications. And that's all we're doing is, and that's the opportunity I see. And I saw, 15 years ago when groups came out and social groups, like, wow, we can organize our groups better. Let's move over to Facebook groups or whatever it was at the time. Now it's mostly Signal and WhatsApp and whatnot. But this was a huge improvement of the way that we organize. And this to me is a 10x way of improving the way we organize and communicate and collaborate with each other. And a quick backstory of how I got here a little bit. We had an app that was for gifting for kids, and it was, the UI was beautiful in the prototype, and you can give them a stock, a crypto, regular gifts, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. But the connecting Plaid and Stripe and Venmo and PayPal was just such an arduous process for obvious reasons. And then we started tinkering with Solana to see if like, hey, that can solve our backend. And like in a week, we were able to do what we've been beating our heads against for a year and a half in the traditional world. Mm-hmm. And that's when it really clicked of like, okay, well, the mainstream people are not ready for this yet. So I put that on hold and started building in here.
Yeah. This actually makes me much more excited about Empire DAO in general, because not only have you succeeded in the core aim of like, let's do what Constitution DAO tried to do and failed to do, which is buy a building or something like that, but then you're actually looking at the back end and the DAO tools and things like that, and just building things that are easy for people to use. So like NFT tap-ins, you tap your card and there's some type of reader, and then it knows that you have a whatever NFT that allows you into a space. That's like fundamentally interesting, but has not been implemented anywhere, I don't think.
No.
And neither has like voting on anything that's anything physical, anything IRL.
Not much. Yeah. Even like Links DAO, there's a debate on where the golf course is going to be picked. And I haven't seen the vote for that yet, but I can't wait to vote on that one, but yeah.
You've got some opinions on where the golf course
should be? I do. Yeah. and that's another great sample. Like they're a great sample. If you look at their governance model, how they hired, how they built their team, it's all online. It's been another way of like seeing a good way to operate it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, the idea behind the workspace too, I mean, just a quick background too, I've worked in corporations for the last 15 years as the head of collaboration, and I would work the head of real estate. So we try to make the experience as much as possible for coming in person to make that experience for good collaboration. So I've been preparing for this kind of my whole life in terms of that sense. But yeah, I mean, again, we're not doing anything new. Mm-hmm. We're just able to do it a different way. And the actually owning something and having that financial incentivization in your mind of like, hey, I worked at WeWork for years. I love the WeWork model. But the sock company was across the way from me and like, yeah, cool. But working in the same space, but also the fact that I actually own some of them when they ask me for intro to an investor or to a designer or whatever it is, mm-hmm. you're much more, you get back to them much faster if you own a little piece of them.
So it's like a vertical WeWork for a very specific industry, Web3 and crypto, which inherently creates more actual community. Because I sat down next to somebody the other day, and he's a developer who works for Solana, building Solana. And we started talking about Web3. And I started talking about a bunch of the founders that I talked to who work on Solana. And he talked about what they're rolling out next.
Yeah.
And like, I also work in a co-working space. And I've never really talked to anybody. I mean, I have, just not about, like, you know, they're just not doing the same things I'm doing.
And I think this is, we're you know, on the technology adoption curve, we're specifically going for Web3 at the early. I see this in a few years, you know, in an industry, say you're in the coffee industry or real estate industry. I feel as if there'll be a version of that with a lot of people working in the scene that are competitive, but actually will be kind of collaborative, kind of what we're doing here in their specific industries. So that's where I see this going, right? I think people will use our protocol to start all kinds of collaboration type workspaces for whatever industry they're in. We're just the first. We're going for the innovators in the space that where it makes sense.
Yeah. Like going back to the roots of Silicon Valley hacker houses.
Yep. Yeah. You got to go for the people that are going to use and understand what you're doing. And that's what we're doing now. We're starting with the very tip of the adoption curve.
Yeah. The last section we've been doing is a lightning round.
Okay.
So to start, number one, what is one company that you think is really interesting in Web3 beyond Empire DAO?
Yeah, I'll say the Monkey DAO on Solana is very interesting to me. I think what they're doing in terms of, it's like a validator program, they're investing in Web3 companies. This type of company, organization, DAO, I should say, doesn't quite make sense. And it's really hard to pigeonhole and say what it is. It's a social club as well. To me, in 10 years time, we'll look back and go like, wow, that really transformed governance and ownership of how we organize companies. And so for me, that's one I'm super bullish on. And like, and I was fortunate enough to serve as a board member there for a bit. So getting a peek into that and going like, wow, this is the future of organization was incredible. So I'm really bullish on the Monkey DAO.
Yeah, they took like one DAO, that one NFT that was worth a ton of money, that was like their mascot, and fractionalized it and gave it to everybody in the community.
They're doing all kinds of like tinkering experimentation. It's just a lot of big brains that are investors and builders. Again, going back to the adoption curve, they are at the cutting edge and they're tinkering. And, you know, there's been some friction and it's been a while, you know, like as there is with any kind of human organization. But I think like what they're able to do there is interesting.
Two, top three things that have to go right over the next 6 months for Empire DAO to take off.
Yeah, simple is having a clean place. You know what I mean? Like simple logistics of the experience going well here. It sounds simple, but you want to make sure that that UX is flawless. The other is the idea of the art and the kind of the red pilling that we're trying to do here. So people understand there's a couple audiences here. One is the governments, universities, and corporations that'll be here for random events and going like, wow, that is not what I thought crypto was. And these stories that I heard tonight and that I saw on the walls, I'm now going to go back and tell my people like, oh, this is not what you thought. And be able to say that. And then for artists and musicians to come in and say the same exact thing, go, I didn't realize I could be creating, I could be owning my own label in this sense. Oh, wait, and I can go into the recording studio and create something right now. And this chain might fund me right now because they want me to build on their platform. Like that part of it, that red pilling is critical in this sense. And then there's the expansion. We've already seen the demand here. We're seeing the demand internationally and locally. That we're able to do that. And whether that be a white label option for someone else to do something, like say the Brio concept, they don't need to call it Empire DAO. Or we actually, you know, Denver, they're saying, we want Empire DAO. It's got a great brand. Bring it here. So that type of expansion is going to be really interesting. And those are kind of the, you know, really baby steps of like just making the UX, making the mentality shift. What this is a factory of getting people to understand what Web3 is and then being able to actually have a sustainable business model where we expand.
If you were starting from scratch, what's one thing you would do differently?
I guess it's easier now to say I'd be in the building first. It's a lot easier to pitch and sell when you have something real. But at the same time, that's the way we needed to do it. So it's hard to say. I mean, there's so many things I think we could have done in a better way. I think our legal framework, I should have gotten the right lawyers and got us set up correct legally up front. We kind of stumbled in that we would wait days and weeks for things to get in order, and it could have moved a lot faster if we had a proper legal setup.
Mm-hmm.
That's honestly the biggest thing.
Any tips for people trying to start DAOs or Web3 companies on how to get your legal right up front?
Yeah, I mean, hit me directly. I mean, I've got groups within Telegram of like, here's some lawyers, and like, they're in there. Like, so I've got like the best of that we found and we've worked with, and like happy to make intros. But yeah, just make sure they know what they're talking about. Ones that are just dabbling into this space, is they've got to have the experience. It costs. It will get more common and the price should come down. But yeah, just make sure you spend, you get what you pay for.
Last question that I love to ask everybody on the show. Where would you like to see Empire DAO, if things go right, 10 years from now?
I see utilizing what we've built in terms of this tokenization and DAO type structure down to maker spaces in villages and towns and cities across the world. So the library is no longer funded by the government. The park no longer has a corporate sign or is funded by the government. We're able to self-organize and self-fund through what we're building here. And maybe this is more for Web3, but I think this is what we're going for. So it doesn't require corporate signage and sponsorship. It doesn't require government bureaucracy and funding that, you know, the Parks and Recs loses the funding over some other projects. That's what always happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the ability for citizens and communities to be able to have great shared spaces. Sure, there's the ones that are like working and they're profitable, but also these other ones that I think can thrive and also be profitable in a sense and bring value to their community, that what we're building now lays the groundwork for that being ubiquitous across the world.
I heard from some friends in GolfDAO who are...
In LinksDAO.
LinksDAO, who said they're all middle-aged men mostly, and they said that they've met more friends in the last few months through in-person meetups as part of this group to buy a golf course than they've made in like 10 years. And that fundamentally, like, DAOs could be, if they work and you can fundamentally organize, they could be the future of American community. And I think that might be the most interesting thing I've heard about crypto yet.
So if you go back centuries, we're typically meeting around weekends around religious meetups, whatever that may be, on Sundays or Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
And that has kind of served as our community. Last couple of generations, we got away from that. And now, even the last couple of years, we get away from, you know, with COVID and being inside. But you think about your social circles as you grow through your life. You've got your high school friends, maybe your university, your first job. You move to a city. What do? You join a kickball team, or, you know, like sometimes you have these retreats where you go away for a week and there do these programs where you get the same people for 6 weeks. But how do you grow those social circles in your 30s, 40s, and 50s? It gets very difficult. And so personally, I played Australian rules football for the Denver Bulldogs for 8 years. That was my family, my roommates, my colleagues, and like that was my support system. I played for the New York Magpies for a decade here in New York. I'm 42. I broke my finger last year. I should hang up the boots. So joining the Monkey DAO last year, I think I've seen them in 10 cities around the world. And yeah, now that they've in my 40s, they've become my social circle because, yeah, we're like-minded. But the token actually makes us more incentivized to do a social community. And LinksDAO, I've been playing golf by myself, which I don't mind. I actually enjoy playing in Queens for a decade. And now I've got a community around here. And am I going to fly to Austin to play with a bunch of strangers golf last year? No way. Now, of course I went out there. That's actually where we met our lead investor. So, yes, it changes. And it goes to the point of talking about Airbnb and Uber, like when people say, oh, would you jump in a car with a stranger or would you stay at the stranger's house? And the year before they tried Airbnb, no way.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's just part of everyone's life.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is just as powerful, and you, I think you nailed it. I think it is our future of our social circles. When you also own something, you find someone who's also interested in what you are, and you have some financial something that you put into it. It's the same as, like, again, none of this is new. When you do sign up for a kickball league, you put money in. You show up. You go for a beer afterwards. You're like, oh, I got some sunken costs here. Like, and the same thing with an NFT project. Like, oh, I've got some sunken costs in the links DAO. Yeah, I'm going to put some more in, and I'm giving man hugs to people I haven't met before, and I love playing with those guys, and, like, we're going to do it again. So, yeah, I'm very bullish on that. I do think it's the future of our societal structure.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that, Mike, it was great to have you on the show.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Cool. Looking forward to seeing some parties here at Empire DAO sometime soon.
Come on through.
Cool.
Thanks for watching.